This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And welcome to Food Stuff. I'm Lauren Vogelbaum.
And I'm Annie Reese.
And today we're talking about expiration dates and food safety.
Yes, and there's a lot of confusion and food waste generated by these things, so this episode of Food Stuff is best if enjoyed immediately.
Oh!
Do you see what I did there?
I do. And by the way, if you think that this sounds like the most boring topic ever possible, A, it's very practical, and B, we talk a lot about gangsters in it.
Yes.
So
it is a lot more fascinating than even I or Lauren would have guessed.
I thought
it was just going to be like, there's some confusion. Nope.
Nope. Gangsters.
Yes.
So
let's start with what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Expiration dates are dates.
Weird.
I know. Printed on the packaging of food or drink that are the date recommended by the manufacturer that you should consume the product by. Unlike what most people assume, most of the time they don't have anything to do with food safety.
Zero.
Yeah, nothing. The government, apart from a few cases, has nothing to do with these dates. And we are talking about the U.S. federal government, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't regulated. The companies make them up.
Yeah. Yeah. They're about flavor and texture and enjoyment of the food more than food safety.
Mm-hmm. You've got Best Buy, Use By, and this is a voluntary date provided by the manufacturers of shelf-stable products like peanut butter and mayonnaise. And like Lauren said, it's more about, like, they want you to consume it when they think it's going to be the most flavorful or the best experience, or they want you to consume it more quickly or throw it away so you have to buy more. I don't know how cynical you are, how you want to look at that. But
yeah, it's color, texture, taste, stuff like that.
Yeah. But it should be fine. It has nothing to do with food safety as long as you've been storing it correctly.
You can totally eat something after a Best Buy or Use By date.
Yes. Useful website shout out. Eatbydate.com. It just has like a general, not looking at these dates, but in general how long foods will last.
Yes.
I just thought it was really useful. I could look up like beer and it had all these dates. It was cool.
Yeah. And there are researchers out there who test the tastiness
of food across its shelf life, by the way. Like real professionals in a lab, not like folks like me and Annie who will just eat anything.
Yes.
And report on it. Research companies provide this as a service to food producers. They'll take a product and store it in varying conditions like temperature and humidity and stuff, and then have a panel of expert tasters grade the product as time goes by. The producer of the food can then pick a cutoff point when they think that the food is past its prime and will, you know, perhaps not help their reputation as a food producer.
Yes. I think this is a job that I would very much enjoy but be very bad at. Because I'm just like, it's fine.
It's fine, basically.
It's really good, yeah.
Yeah.
Apart from Best Buy, Use Buy, you also have Sell By Date, and that is meant more as a guideline for grocery stores so they know how long to display a product.
Mm-hmm.
As a consumer, you probably want to buy something before the Sell By Date, but you can keep it at home past that date, again, as long as you store it safely.
Right.
And the amount of time past the date depends on the product. See earlier website.
Again, eatbydate.com.
Yes.
Yes.
Expires on. If you're thinking that you don't see that one frequently, that's because you probably don't see it frequently.
Huh.
It's not used frequently outside of baby formula and baby foods, some baby foods, which are the only things in the U.S. that the federal government actually regulates when it comes to these food dates.
Baby foods are treated differently because some nutrients in foods degrade over time, and the government wanted to assure parents that their kids are getting no less than the amount of nutrients that are listed on these food labels. Also, in the case of formula, the consistency could change over time, making it more difficult for the formula to pass through a bottle, making it more difficult for the baby to get food. We all want babies to get food.
Yes.
Yes.
And knowing the right amount of nutrients is very important at that early stage in life.
Very, very much so.
Very, very much. Some states, in particular New York, surprise, have their own regulations. That was no shade. Good job, New York. In some cases, two dates are printed on the product, both federal and state. Eggs, milk, and meats are the most common products to have state regulations.
Makes sense.
Yep. You might also see packing codes, which usually appear as long strings of numbers and letters that help in recall situations primarily.
Right.
And for manufacturers and grocers to know what they might want to rotate in terms of products.
Yeah. Those are internal thing or like industry things that you don't worry if you've never been able to make sense of them.
I haven't.
Yeah. I try all the time. It's not you. It's not you. It's on purpose. It's okay. Not meant to make sense.
I feel better about myself.
I know. Me too.
The UK's Waste and Resources Action Program reported that 45% to 49% of consumers in the UK misunderstood the date labels, so we're not alone,
yeah,
on food products, and that up to 20% of food waste can be linked to that misunderstanding.
Oh, wow.
So it's a pretty big deal. But more on the food waste thing later. First, let's talk about how we got here in the first place.
Yeah.
Yes. So actually, expiration dates are kind of new kids on the block. And according to a popular theory, in the U.S., it started with Al Capone.
Al Capone.
Al Capone. A park ranger at Alcatraz claims that in the 1930s, Capone told him this story, lobbied for milk bottle dating to ensure the safety of the city's children. And that's a quote from the Guard. I'm going to guess most of our listeners are familiar with Al Capone.
Probably.
But if you aren't, here's a brief bio. Capone was a, shall we say, businessman?
Sure. That's a very polite way of putting it.
It is. Based in Chicago, who made most of his money selling alcohol illegally during Prohibition and was eventually caught and sent to Alcatraz. I didn't know this. He was caught for evading taxes he should have been paying on his alcohol sales, not the numerous violent crimes attributed to him.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Also, he opened the first soup kitchen during the Great Depression.
Oh.
So we might have to revisit that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. In this version of the story, after a family member got sick from drinking milk, a family member or friend, the story is a little blurry on the details.
Sure.
Al Capone took an interest in the dairy industry.
Huh.
Also, he kind of knew that eventually this alcohol thing
was gonna run out, like Prohibition was going to end eventually,
yes,
and he wanted a backup plan.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
He started lobbying the Chicago City Council to put date stamps on milk, and his efforts paid off. A law was passed Capone had already bought up all the equipment needed to stamp these dates on the packaging.
Oh, I see.
Yes, as a way to take over the dairy industry.
Wow.
Yeah. And by the time Prohibition ended, he had trucks ready to transport and distribute milk. He was prepared.
That's so clever. I have all of these liquid transportation trucks.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Al Capone.
I know. And listen to this. At the time, the Teamsters Union required that only local milk could be transported by only union members. Capone, wanting to import cheaper Wisconsin dairy and use cheaper non-union members to transport it, allegedly kidnapped the union president and used the $50,000 ransom he got out of it to purchase milk processor Meadowmore Dairies.
Wow.
Yeah, which he gave as a gift to his attorney 3 months before he went to prison. See, you thought it was going to be a boring old episode.
I had no idea that kidnapping was going to enter the picture.
I know. I
in expiry dates. That's okay.
And Al Capone. That's great. So great. So maybe possibly have him to thank for the dates on milk, at least.
Yeah. However, despite his impressive efforts, it wasn't really until the 1970s that, or until 1970 specifically, that expiration dates really became a thing in the United States on a larger level.
Yes. As more and more of the food we were eating was packaged, and perhaps we weren't really sure what was in it, we wanted to know that the ingredients and the things we were putting in our bodies was safe and fresh.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A 1975 survey of 250,000 consumers found that a majority wanted a dating system, and 95% named a dating system as the most useful indicator for freshness.
Ah.
So people were really pushing for this.
Yeah.
Skipping ahead to 1999, the National Uniform Food Safety Labeling Act came before Congress, which called for both sell-by and use-by dates for quality, safety, and quote, nutrient availability.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. It failed, as have five others like it introduced between 2001 and 2009.
Huh.
Interesting side note I kept running across. Our home state of Georgia is one of two states that requires dates on pre-wrapped sandwiches. Yeah.
That's such a specific thing to legislate.
Okay. I know. It kept popping up.
All right. Go Georgia.
Uh-huh. Products like shellfish, milk, eggs, and anything labeled keep refrigerated are also required to have expiration dates and are checked regularly by inspectors.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. And quick note, in Europe, it's against the law not to have a sell-by date. The history of this practice in Europe is fairly short as well, and also kind of around the same timeline. Marks and Spencer's originally started using it in their storeroom in the 1950s, but it didn't appear on the shelves until 1970, and the term sell-by came into use in 1973. The company takes so much pride in this, they actually used it as a selling point in an ad campaign that they came up with.
What?
Yeah.
That's great.
I know. You can find it online.
I mean, I guess it's a good bragging point. Like we're exacting.
Yeah.
Eat our food.
Exactly. We've been ahead of the game on this, so you can trust us.
Yes.
Okay. So that's the short history of expiration dates in specifically the U.S. and Europe. So let's look at the health and safety general rules.
Yeah, yeah, and get some more into the food waste area of the conversation. But first, let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull.
A lot of artists in general, people that are very creative, sometimes tend to overthink. That's one of my number one rules. Don't ever overthink. You can think ahead, but don't overthink. And what I mean by that is when they start to write a record, they're like, oh, that's not the line. Oh, that's not this. Oh, it's not that. And everybody has a creative process. I'm not knocking it. For me, I just let it flow.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you. Okay, so the marketing end of expiration dates aside, fresh foods will eventually spoil.
No.
Yes. By which I mean that microorganisms will start eating them if you do not. The mold and bacteria and yeasts that cause food to change color and scent over time, not all of them are pathogenic. Like, not all of them are harmful. But generally, they do make food unpleasant.
Mm.
Yeah. You can prevent their growth by practicing safe food handling.
What?
I know.
Crazy.
Stuff like, I mean, and part of this is going to sound a little bit like duh, but I think it's worthwhile for everyone to remind themselves of these kind of practices every now and again.
I agree.
So yeah, you know, put refrigerated and frozen foods in your cart last at the supermarket.
That makes sense.
Keep them cool during transport and get them into the fridge promptly once you're home. Meat, eggs, milk, and other things that spoil more easily should be kept in the coldest part of the fridge, away from the door, toward the bottom and the back, because every time you open the door, you're letting a little bit of warm air in. So anything mm-hmm. kept in the door specifically will get exposed to a little bit of a temperature flux. If you take stuff out of the fridge and then repackage it for any reason, like, you know, maybe you only cook 2 chicken thighs from a larger pack, make sure that your hands and anything else that they come into contact with are clean. And don't leave things out of the fridge for longer than is necessary. The United States Food Safety and Inspection Service says that 2 hours at room temperature is the hard limit for fresh dairy and meat products, like a milk or chicken salad or like a cooked sausage or something like that.
Wow, I didn't realize there's a hard limit. This really puts a damper on some barbecues and potlucks I've been to.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's all kinds of food temperature regulation.
I'll just try not to think about it too hard.
Yeah. Of course, even when you are careful, there are some foodborne pathogens out there that can make you sick. Stuff that was introduced before or during the food's original packaging. Like maybe the animal that your meat comes from could have been infected, or like wee particles of dirt could have gotten in at some point, or maybe the soil that a vegetable was grown in harbored some kind of bacteria or some other contaminant. Cooking food to an appropriate temperature will generally get rid of this sort of thing. And you can check Google for science's latest temperature recommendations for whatever specific food you're preparing or preparing to prepare. And also just make sure that you don't cross-contaminate, like use separate knives and cutting boards to handle things that are going to be cooked and things that are going to be eaten raw, your salads, anything like that. And do wash your hands after handling raw meats and eggs. Canned goods, meanwhile, are basically safe forever. as long as they're still sealed. Dented cans are 100% totally fine, as long as the dent is not across the lid seals or the side seam, which can disrupt the seal. Mm-hmm. Do not eat from bloated cans. However, the bloat is caused by bacteria growing inside, which is both gross and gross.
This reminds me of The Last of Us, the zombies, the bloaters. They get really big because the bacteria inside.
Oh, I had totally put that out of my brain, but you're completely correct.
You're welcome, Lauren.
Oh, thank you. Okay, back to food after thinking about zombies.
That's a regular podcast for us.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, all right. So when I said forever, I like really kind of meant forever. There's one experiment in the 1970s in which researchers opened up stuff like 40-year-old canned corn and 100-year-old canned oysters, and they found that the foods inside looked and smelled basically like any freshly canned counterpart that you might find on a store shelf. Analysis did find that there were slightly lower levels of some nutrients like vitamin C. They didn't taste any of them.
Oh. Well, that's impressive nonetheless.
But yeah.
In a zombie situation.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Canned goods
yeah. Forever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Oh, but speaking of science.
Yes.
I did want to put in that food scientists have brought us a lot of really incredible innovations over the past few decades. You know, ingredients can be added to stuff like processed meats and cheeses to prevent them from spoiling. Fresh vegetables can be packed or stored in controlled atmosphere environments that prevent them from spoiling. Fresh meats can be similarly stored and packed, and those absorbent purge pads help prevent, you know, potentially contaminated juices from getting everywhere, cross-contaminating your salad, all that unfun stuff. Also, fun thing that I did not know about those purge pads that come in your packs of meat, lots of big chain grocers put anti-theft tags.
What?
In those purge pads. They just sneak them right in there.
What?
So no more smuggling raw chicken out of Kroger, Annie.
Oh, no.
Sorry. Sorry about it.
Oh, no. Well, does it deactivate when you buy it? Like, when
yeah.
they scan it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, when they scan it, it deactivates at the same time.
I can't believe that. I've never heard of that. So sneaky.
All y'all meet smugglers. Have to find a different
gotta
method.
Find a different racket.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so let's talk about food waste.
Right.
Yes, all of this confusion about expiration dates has led to both a lot of food waste and a lot of foodborne illness. In general, Americans throw away 25% of the stuff we buy without consuming it, which is an insane number.
Yeah.
That short circuits the stray cat's brain.
Yeah.
Lauren and I are both stray cats, which means we'll eat anything that we can find.
Especially if it's free.
If it's free, that's where we get in trouble.
Yeah. Estimates, by the way, for the cost of this food amount to $600 to $900 worth of food per household per year. And it is a global problem. Worldwide, it's estimated that about 1.3 billion metric tons of food go to waste every year.
Whew. One study I read out of the UK circa 2013 found that date confusion only accounted for 1/5 of food waste. Mm-hmm. So it's certainly not the main culprit.
Okay.
But it is a pretty substantial part of the equation.
Sure.
Because I guess you could say that fear of expired food and poor planning is really a big part of the problem, accounts for a lot of food waste.
Yeah.
So a better dating system could certainly help.
Oh, yeah.
According to a 2015 survey conducted by Global Public Health Organizations, NSF International, around 27% of Americans keep products past their expiration date, which could maybe put them at risk for foodborne illness. On the other hand, the survey found 51% throw food out based on the best use by date.
Oh.
Yeah, and 36% for the sell by date.
Oh, wow.
When it's typically still safe for consumption.
Yeah.
And that generates, obviously, a lot of food waste. 64% of Americans, and I have to say, including me, until I did this, say they rely on their senses.
Oh, yeah.
But
It's the good old sniff test.
The sniff. If it smells okay.
If it smells okay, it's probably fine.
Yeah. But according to the survey,
well, the scientist who authored the survey, the germs that cause most foodborne illness can't be detected via sight or smell. The UK study I mentioned earlier found that looking or smelling off, quote, was the number one reason respondents gave for tossing food. So the report also found that 39% of the respondents avoid eating at other people's, including friends, homes due to food safety concerns, which that kind of made me giggle.
Oh, yeah. We all have that friend, right?
I have one person in mind right now.
Uh-huh.
I would still eat the food, but I would be very, like, delicate and cautious about it. I would take my time. A 2013 National Resource Defense Council survey referenced in Time magazine reported an even higher number of food waste, writing that 90% of Americans throw out perfectly good food.
Wow.
And that as much as 40% of our food supply is discarded uneaten every year. I think the difference in the number there is that they included farms and grocery stores.
Oh, okay.
Whereas the study I previously mentioned only focused on the consumer.
Sure.
This equates to billions of pounds of food, about 20 per person a month, loss of 25% of fresh water used to grow or just get these food items to the store, to your plate, and $165 billion.
Per year.
According to this, rotting food also accounts for 25% of America's methane emissions, food rotting in landfills.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Throwing away out-of-date food is estimated to cost grocery stores $2,300 a day, U.S. dollars a day.
Yeah. However, not all post-dated food goes to waste. Some can be given to charity, depending on local laws, or shelters, food banks, stuff like that. Some food that's past its date goes to salvage grocers and discount stores, which are places that sell food a little closer to the end of its life for lower prices. Some goes to grocery auctions.
Grocery auctions?
Which I had never heard was a thing, but it's totally a thing. Like, you can buy kind of in bulk this, like, slightly expired, like past sell-by date foods.
Oh, my goodness.
In auction format.
I gotta look into that.
I know. Some even goes to exclusively past date grocery markets. For example, the guy who founded Trader Joe's opened one of these in Boston in 2015, and there was one opened in Copenhagen in Denmark in 2016. These are places that sell exclusively stuff that's past sell-by date, but still is wholesome and, you know.
Right.
Probably won't make you sick.
Yes.
And equal chance with anything else.
Right. I know John Oliver did a piece on this, on food waste recently, and that he talked about how there are a lot of laws in the U.S. in particular that make it very difficult to donate food.
Yeah. Which is very, very frustrating.
Yes. So I guess we'll come back to that in a future episode.
In a whole other upsetting, yes. Depressing episode. We haven't had a really depressing one lately, though.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a look at the food waste that is generated in part due to confusion and fear kind of surrounding expiration dates and our misunderstanding of them. So let's take a quick break. But when we get back, we'll talk about the future.
Yes. Possible solutions.
Yes. But right after a quick break from a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math & Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull.
A lot of artists in general, people that are very creative, sometimes tend to overthink. That's one of my number one rules. Don't ever overthink. You can think ahead, but don't overthink. And what I mean by that is when they start to write a record, they're like, oh, that's not the line. Oh, that's not this. Oh, it's not that. And everybody has a creative process. I'm not knocking it. For me, I just let it flow.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you. So last year, Congress introduced the Food Date Labeling Act of 2016 in an attempt to standardize the date labels, primarily to better communicate when a little wiggle room is okay and when it absolutely isn't.
Yeah.
A study in the UK came to the conclusion that clarity in labeling could reduce food waste by 20%. Mm-hmm. And if you're thinking, well, the UK keeps coming up a lot here, they've done a lot to try to fix this. And they were one of the first, at least that I could find, studies, countries that did a like massive study on it and the problems it caused in food waste. Also in 2016, the USDA distributed a document suggesting companies simply use the single label, best if used by. And in 2017, the Food Marketing Institute and the Grocery Manufacturers Association are advising that the majority of food manufacturers or retailers that fall under their joint umbrella to replace the current dates with these two, best if used by for most foods, and use by for products that potentially become less safe with age.
Ah.
Yeah.
That is clear. Yeah.
Yeah. And in 2012, the European Parliament pledged to reduce food waste by 50% by 2020. And a part of their ways they were going to achieve this was by better clarity in the expiration date.
Huh.
Yeah. So.
So, yeah, I hope that, I hope that some of these measures wind up getting through and better affecting food safety and reducing food waste for all of us.
I agree, and I have to say, this episode was very helpful for me to research because I have always kind of been confused about what exactly that date meant. Like, could I eat it faster?
Yeah. And see above Restray Cat, my answer was usually just like, it's probably fine.
Yes. Mine too.
If my stomach is a little upset tomorrow, I can
deal with
it.
Then I'll know.
But this brings us to our listener mail.
Yes. Listener mail. Brittany wrote in response to our tofu episode, while listening to your most recent episode, I was reminded of one of my first interactions with tofu as a freshman in college. The anecdote will require a little backstory, so please bear with me. I grew up in a small Midwest farming community where both my parents and grandparents had farms. On both our farms, we rotated between growing corn and soybeans for use in livestock feed. In our family, there was a very clear distinction between corn for animal consumption, like the kind we grew in mass, and corn for humans, which my grandmother grew in her garden. You did not eat the corn in the fields. Looking back, it probably had to do with the pesticides we used. And I always assumed that you shouldn't eat the soybeans either. Since my grandmother didn't grow soybeans in her garden, I just figured that soybeans weren't good for humans at all. So fast forward to me as a freshman in college eating tofu with my new West Coast roommate and her telling me that it was made from soybeans. My face went white and I spat my whole bite out of my mouth, convinced we were both poisoning ourselves. Once she stopped laughing at me, she explained that we were fine, but I never lived it down. I love that story. That's so funny.
That's amazing. Yes. Also, Rosalind sent us this after our sourdough episode. A past roommate started a sourdough with the flour and water in a bowl method and passed it my way when she was moving out 3 years ago. In my experience with it since then, I've come across a cookbook noting that the container for a starter should have breathability, such as a yogurt container or a ceramic crock, because the gas produced from the bacteria can be put under pressure from a tight-fitting lid. This in turn can lead to the cracking of the container or a small explosion if left long enough. Yay for bacteria poop maybe exploding.
Another food item that we need to worry about exploding.
Yes.
I'm learning so much.
I love how many of your letters, y'all, are
about explosions.
Are about food explosions.
It's excellent.
Yes.
We also received a delightful package.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so in our episode about graham crackers, we mentioned that graham flour is in fact available from several producers, one of them being Bob's Red Mill. And as it turns out, we have a listener at Bob's Red Mill who was psyched about this because she sent us this huge like care package gift bag.
Yes.
Of like stuff to make graham crackers with.
Yes. And when I opened it, I hadn't read the letter yet. And all I saw was like a lot of packages of graham flour. And I just laughed because I didn't make it a secret that I'm not exactly a fan of Dr. Graham. But it was so great. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. So she wrote us a card. It says, Dear Annie and Lauren, I'm a big fan of the show and really enjoyed the episode on graham crackers and Dr. Sylvester Graham. I've answered a lot of baking questions about graham crackers and how to make them, though I leave out the history because let people enjoy their grahams, I say. Thank you for the great show and enjoy the graham materials. Cheers.
We will. And yeah. Thank you very much for sending
yes,
us
thank you, Sarah.
That package, Sarah.
Yes. Oh, goodness. And thank you also to Brittany and Rosalyn. Thank you very much to our amazing producer whose name I'm remembering, Alex Williams.
She got it.
Yeah. First try. by the way, if you guys want to get in touch with us too, you can totally do that thing.
Yes. Our email is foodstuff@howstuffworks.com.
We're also on social media. We are at foodstuffhsw on Twitter and Facebook. We're just plain old at foodstuff on Instagram. Come check us out. Say hello. And we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.